Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Many of you have heard about the stunt by this Russian punk group, Pussy Riot. They went into a church and they performed a song there in a church, praying to the Virgin Mary to get rid of the dictatorship of Vladimir Putin. Now, they were immediately arrested, and they were in jail for about 6 months, and then was a trial held against them, and they were harshly punished for 2 years in prison. And of course, when we talk about Russia, we are not talking about a very civilized prison. Siberia comes to mind. Now, I wouldn't necessarily devote a lot of attention to this particular punk group if it weren't for the fact that what is happening in Russia shows that Vladimir Putin is out there to establish a tyranny in this part of the world, reminiscent of Stalin. That is exactly his goal. And this is remarkable in the light of biblical prophecy, as I will show you in a moment. But first, let me read a little bit from some articles and reactions to this very highly problematic judgment against those three young ladies. And everybody pretty much agrees that Vladimir Putin was behind the whole thing. Deutsche Welle reported on August 17. Whoever thought the Russian state was able to demonstrate any form of lenience or clemency towards its opponents has been proven seriously wrong. The verdict against the three women of the punk band Pussy Riot is not just a harsh punishment that will affect the accused artists personally. This trial has been used to set a precedent. Anyone in Russia who chooses to publicly speak out against the authoritarian Putin system, especially if it involves breaching the law, is going to feel the full force of the establishment. There is no question about it. The public act of the punk activists at the Moscow Cathedral of Christ the Savior in February was a scandal. Certainly it had the potential for hurting people's religious beliefs. But the protest happened without violence. No one was actually hurt. The women were treated like dangerous criminals. They were barely able to tell their side of the story during the trial. There was no sign of religious hatred. It was clearly a political protest. It is shameful, as we will see in a moment, that the church, the Russian Orthodox Church, got behind Putin to demand such a harsh punishment. The article in Deutsche Welle goes on to say, Kremlin-supporting politicians and representatives of the Russian Orthodox Church surpassed each other in demanding draconian punishments, as if they themselves were the prosecutors in this trial. The verdict becomes a dark omen for Putin's third term in office, a technocrat of power who only managed to re-emerge as Russia's leader by tricking the constitution itself. His first 100 days in office have clearly shown that there will be no further political liberalization. In bilateral discussions, the German side increasingly asks the question, and that is what is extremely important for us to understand, whether a dialogue with Russia is at all possible when it comes to civil rights and society. The article points out that the Russian-German relationships have already suffered, will continue to suffer under a dictatorship of Vladimir Putin. The Local wrote on August 17, the German government, the EU, and the United States of America have all condemned the verdict. And then the Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle is quoted as saying that this was totally inappropriate to have such a terrible decision. And then, of course, the leader of the Green Party said that Russia was no democratic country. Now, of course, we knew that all along, didn't we? The EU Observer goes on to say this on August 20. The trial is seen as yet another proof of Putin's decision to run his second presidency with an iron fist and his determination to crack down on opposition and dissent. Now, he's done that before. How he murdered dissidents, those who didn't agree with him, on a large scale. He's going to do it again. Not unlike Stalin. Not unlike Hitler. I want you, my friends, to understand what is going on in Russia and how it is going to affect all of us. For her part, it says, the EU's Foreign Affairs Chief, Catherine Ashton, on Friday said the sentence was disproportionate and called for it to be reversed. This case adds to the recent upsurge in politically motivated intimidation and prosecution of opposition activists in the Russian Federation, a trend that is of growing concern to the European Union. Respect for human rights and the rule of law is an indispensable part of the EU-Russia relationship, she said. So in other words, she is saying, we are not going to continue having this kind of friendly relationship with Russia. My friends, the Bible tells us that in the not too distant future, the relationship between the European power bloc and the Russian power bloc in combination with China and other countries will become so bad that we are going to see an outright war between these two power blocs. The Bible makes this very clear. And that's why we need to watch and to observe what is going to happen and what is happening in that part of the world. Der Spiegel Online wrote on August 17, the performance with its blasphemous words which insult Christians, quote-unquote, had deeply shocked the faithful of all religious communities, quote-unquote, read a statement by the Interreligious Council of Russia, which was also signed by the Federation of Jewish Communities. What in the world do the Jews have to do with that? Why do they get involved? It's ridiculous, but that's what's happening in Russia. It goes on to say, some Orthodox Christians also separately called for the activists to be severely punished. One archabbot even went so far as to write in a Moscow weekly paper that the country will go under if you do not punish profanity. Well, it wasn't profanity, it was an attack, if you please, against Putin. But you see, unfortunately, the Russian Orthodox Church is so closely related to Putin that they apparently cannot see the distinction anymore. This article goes on to say, those in power seem not to understand that the church and state are doing themselves a disservice by locking up the three young women, two of whom are mothers of small children. Now notice what the Associated Press had to say on August 18. Two top clerics in the Russian Orthodox Church said Saturday that it has forgiven the members of feminist punk band Pussy Riot, who were sent to prison for briefly taking over a cathedral in a prayer for deliverance from Vladimir Putin. If I have ever heard an example of hypocrisy, here's the one. It goes on to say, both clerics supported the court's decision to prosecute Pussy Riot, despite an international outcry that called it unfair. The Pussy Riot case has underlined the vast influence, and I want you, dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, to listen to this very, very carefully. The vast influence of the Russian Orthodox Church. Although church and state are formally separate, the church identifies itself as the heart of Russian national identity, and critics say its strength effectively makes it a quasi-state entity. Some Orthodox groups and many believers had urged strong punishment for an action they consider blasphemous. The head of the church, now I'm talking about the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, has made no secrets of his strong support for Putin, passing his leadership as quote-unquote God's miracle, and describing the punk performance as part of an assault by quote-unquote enemy forces of the church. What a shameful testimony. But at the same time, we see, my friends, what is happening over there in Russia. A church-state power is developing. They are going to be the ones who are going to suppress every dissident who is not in line with their thinking. Now, of course, when it comes to Europe, we see religious persecution of minorities there as well. So they don't necessarily have a benefit or an advantage over what's happening in Russia, because think of the terrible decision of this court case over there in Germany saying that circumcision of boys for religious reasons is a crime. And after this terrible decision came out, we just learned that now a Jewish circumciser has been charged with a crime, with criminal conduct, for having continued to perform circumcisions of young Jewish boys. Religious persecution, my friends, is happening all over the world. And we are seeing now a situation where Russia and the Far Eastern countries coming together will become more and more alienated from a European power bloc. And that is exactly what the Bible has prophesied is going to happen, my friends. It's very clear in Scripture. If you look at the book of Revelation, if you look at other places like the book of Daniel, you will find that an outright world war is going to occur between the European power bloc, which is forming right now, ultimately being led by 10 nations or groups of nations, out of which will come the famous beast. He too, the political leader, will work hand in hand with a religious leader called the false prophet. But that's Europe. But we see something very similar apparently happening in Russia also. And these two power blocks will end up in a terrible war. And it will engulf the entire world. We are looking at what's happening in the Middle East. Another hot spot. This world is not a safe place. Wars are coming. Christ said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he said, pray that I will come back soon when this happens to restore God's government here on earth and to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth, because then and only then will we have peace and freedom from war. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.